You and I have a responsibility. My responsibility does not end with my family, and my responsibility does not end with my God. My responsibility begins with my God, goes to my family, and everyone else. I have a responsibility to do what God has called me to do, to preach His gospel, and anything else that He decides to add on closer to the end. You see, you and I are children of God. Here I am. I'm a child of God. Over here I am. I'm a child of the world. My whole life is battling my commitment to my Savior and my desire for self. You and I, so often, we focus our entire life on self. What will make me feel good? What will this do for me? What's in it for me? How can I do something better for me? And yet it goes completely against what we as Christians profess we believe. I am a Christian, and according to God's holy word, what is on the heart and the mind and the hurt and the pain of others, anybody but me, that's where I need my focus. For you see, if I will focus on the area of life that my God called me to focus on, and I can't reach certain people around me, then God will send certain other people to minister to those people that I can. God says, you do what I've called you to do. He says that to each of us. And as you do what I've called you to do, I'll take care of the rest. Do you ever try to tell somebody else what they need to do? Do you ever go to somebody and you just ask them the question, you know, I appreciate your opinion. Tell me what I need to do on this. Well, my answer to you is go to the Lord in prayer. He knows who you are. He knows the situation. Because let's face it, folks, when you go up to somebody and you're talking about what's going on in your life or in your family, you are not going to be totally honest. You're not going to tell them everything. You think you can trust them, but then again, another part of your mind says, no, I don't want some of it to get out, so I'm going to keep it right in here. I'm saying that you don't have to keep it right in here. I'm saying go to the Lord. He ain't telling anybody else. Take your heart to the Lord. Allow Him to touch your heart and allow Him to rework you once again in His image. This morning I wanted to focus on resurrection, not insurrection. Resurrection, not insurrection. Now let me read to you first. I want us to look at these two terms from a Christian perspective. Resurrection is the act of rising from the dead through Jesus Christ. Now let me read John 11:25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Now, next you have insurrection. Let me give you the definition. Insurrection is rebellion against the truth of God by revolting against the gospel truth of Jesus Christ. Do you see any of that going on today in our own generation? Listen to John 18:37-38. Jesus is standing before a vicious, vile leader, neither a respecter of God nor man. And Pilate is looking at him, the most vile of all personalities, looking at the Son of God, ready to judge and to condemn. Pilate therefore said to him, Jesus, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate then will give you the truth of where he stands with the Lord. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" Jesus just explained to him what truth is. Jesus had just told him, "This is truth. I am truth. I've come and I want you to know that I should bear witness to the truth. Of the truth. He is the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Once again, Pilate says, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." Well, he didn't recognize him as the truth, but he knew there was something different. That difference made a difference to Pilate. Pilate knew there's a difference with him, and Pilate didn't like the Pharisees anyway. He didn't even like the Jews. He didn't like anything about them. But he liked this man Jesus more than he liked them. This man Jesus that he's talking to, you've got to picture this kind of personality. This personality is one that is so self-centered, so focused, megalomaniacs. They're individuals who are so powerful. And yet Jesus stands before that personality. And that personality of Jesus made this vile person understand that those who were condemning him were worse than he was. And he comes back and says, "I find no fault in him." But then he goes on, "At all. There's nothing wrong here. Why have you brought him before me?" There's a big difference, folks, in resurrection. There's a big difference when you and I start looking in our heart and God starts focusing on our heart as to who we are in him. We remember back at the day that we accepted Christ. You should. You need to go back to that time in your mind. I always encourage you, go back to that place if you can, where you met Christ, where you confessed Christ, and allow that to be a part of your prayer life. "Lord, when I was here 150 years ago, I knelt before you in prayer. You saved me. I know you did." And then you take a look at your life and you say, "Whoa, my God, my Savior resurrected me from a life of sin. I was dying and drowning within my life. Sin had overwhelmed me. Sin had taken over. And when I looked to my Savior and my Savior looked at me, it was resurrection time." Live a life as Christians so often in insurrection. Meaning that, look, I don't care what they say. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what God thinks. I don't believe in any of them anyway. That's insurrection. As I've grown in life, I have found that I myself and you will rebel most readily to those things that will bring us the greatest peace. Have you noticed it? And people talk about being at church and then they say, "You know, I feel so good when I'm at church. I really enjoy going to church every Easter and every Christmas because I feel so good." You don't go to church because it feels good. You go to church because Jesus says, "Me inside of you, I am good. I am the good in you. I am the hope that you have. I have resurrected you from the tomb of sin. I have reached down in that ditch of life. I showed you my faithfulness. And my faithfulness comes from my heart. And I even gave my body for you." It's resurrection time. Not insurrection time. And yet day after day, the stats will come out. Another church closes. Another church closes. Another church closes. And you walk into the world. and we see masses. You can go to the malls, you can go anywhere, and when I see a mass group of people, and I'm right there in that mass, standing there, I think, wonder how many of these folk know Jesus? Wonder how many of these folks really have a relationship with Jesus Christ? But do you know what comes to me after that? Larry, you preach where I tell you to preach and what I tell you to preach, and you leave the rest of them up to me. But I look and I think, what's going on within our society? God says, I want to give you a resurrection in your family. I want to make your family closer than ever before. But we will hold grudges. We will hold pain within our heart, within our life, within our mind. And within that, we become the insurrectionist that we look at so often and condemn. We are individuals that understand something. We are no different than the first century church. When church began, fighting began. When church started, there were great tug of wars within the church. And those tug of wars had nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ, had to do with the power of man. And from the beginning, you've seen it. Groups, individuals wanting to take over God's house. You can't take over God's house. God's house is God. This church, other churches, belong to Jesus Christ. I get a smile on my face anymore when somebody asks me, well, what kind of problems are going on at your church? And I say, I think I'm about the only problem that they have. I look and I realize, folks, you and I have been blessed with the personalities around us that just want to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and forget all the foolishness. Now, that's a blessing. That's a resurrection time for the church. So when the church realizes, wait a minute, how about me doing what God's called me to do? Well, it's got to start with you. It's got to start with me. I have to be resurrected from the old life to the new life in order for me to help lead people to the new life, right? You and I are called by God. And in His calling, He says, I'm going to breathe into you new life. I'm going to give you that new heart. That heart that I will set inside of you will be my heart. That heart that I give you will be the heart of my only begotten Son. I'm giving you the heart of Jesus. You're mine. You belong to my kingdom. But then he looks, and what does he see? Churches closing. Churches closing. Christians going off a whoring into the world. Christians not caring. And then those Christians are watching their own families collapse. Loved ones. And as those Christians and their own family look in deep, God looks to the heart. And God says, it's time for another resurrection. I am a Christian. I may be knocked down in the ditch of life at any time. I know that. Any of us. You think you can't fall? You really need to read Scripture. Any of us. The point you think you've got it and nothing can turn you away is the very point you will collapse. But it's our duty to dive down in that ditch, to scrape around wherever we need to scrape, to move the mud off the face and off the heart, the resurrected heart of God's kingdom. He said, I have come that you may not have to worry. And we spend almost every day worrying about something. Well, I know that says that in a book. Listen, It says, Jesus says that to you in your heart. I guarantee you, if you can't read, God will read to you. You will understand the great love that he has. And he cries out from on high, will my people, once again, will they stand and will they be counted? Or are we witnessing the end of the church age? I can read history about the beginning. Are we living the history of the end of the church age? Jesus Christ. What good is it to go to a building to sing, to read, even to read the Bible? Stand up and you read and proclaim the word of God. And you could even say at the end, thus saith the Lord thy God. What good is any of that without the power of the Holy Spirit right behind it? And the power of the Holy Spirit in your heart, the power of the Holy Spirit in the heart of those who are listening. Folks, our generation needs a resurrection of the Christians. We backed away. Our nation has fallen into pure immorality. Our nation has collapsed in front of us. And you and I are sending our children right out in the middle of hell itself, unprepared for what they're going to find. Oh, here, honey, you take this, just don't get pregnant. Oh, here, young man, just make sure you don't get her pregnant. Hear this, hear that. I mean, how about, now I know this is really hard for people. How about not having sex until after you're married? That's in the book, isn't it? How about living in a generation once again when you're tickled to death that a child is bearing, ready to bear a child because they are a family and you want to love them? So what do we do in the world we're in? You and I are ordered by God to pick them up off the street if we need to. We are to bring them in and we are to love them. But look, they're not even married. Let me tell you, I've seen people that weren't legally married living closer to the Lord than those who were legally married. Now, I'm not going to get into this with anyone. Legal marriage for the Christian is the commitment of a heart from one Christian to another Christian. All the rest belongs to the state. You can have all the license you want in the world, folks. A lot of marriages in our generation are marriages of convenience and convenience only. It's of the heart. The love from one to the other. And God says, listen, I'm looking for my church. Do we not hear the God of glory crying out once again? Crying out with a victorious shout, rise, church, rise, for there is a battle that needs to be fought. Let me give you the real good part of that. God tells me and he tells you to rise. He does not tell me and he does not tell you to do the fighting. He says, you stand up. You proclaim the truth. You stand for the truth. No matter what it cost, you stand there. But does he look upon a valley of dry bones? Churches throughout the world that are collapsing? Next week, I'm going to be focusing on statistics, trying to pull up as much as I can on all the Christian churches throughout the world where the Christians are being slaughtered. Slaughtered. Worse than animal sacrifice. Slaughtered. Because they believe Jesus Christ is Lord. Wonder how fast the churches in America will start emptying out when you have armed guards around on the outside saying, if you come to worship God, you will die. Wonder how many would walk through that door. But I wonder something else. Folks, I would not dare walk through that door without being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the one that walks through that door with the power of the Holy Spirit, God help the others who are trying to keep him out. Get the point. The point is, I can do nothing outside the will of God. God said, I'm the fighter. I'm the one. Remember Jericho? My different classes and all, I keep reminding you, folks, as God is making Joshua aware, Joshua, you did not conquer Jericho with your sword. This is God talking to him. He said, I sent the hornet, and it was the hornet that conquered. And you think of that. God says, in every aspect of our life, I'm not talking and telling you to fight. I'm telling you to stand. Will I protect my family? You better believe it. You better believe it. But will I go out and take a Bible and beat somebody upside the head and say, I'm going to make a Christian out of you if I have to break all 10 commandments to do it? No, I'm not. That person must be under conviction. I don't know whether the problem is so many that don't know the Lord, or the problem is the ones who do know the Lord aren't talking about it. Christmas. Randy was giving you a little history a while ago. Now, all the wise men came about 2 years later to the house. The Bible says this. Comes to the house to see 2-year-old baby Jesus. Also didn't say there were 3 kings of Orient. There were 3 gifts. There were 3 gifts. I could have been how many. It doesn't matter. See, none of that matters to us. What matters to us, Jesus came and Jesus died on that cross. He was buried, and 3 days later, he came forth from death, conquering death. He was the first resurrection of the dead. The first. People say, well, I can read the Old Testament, I can see the other. He's the only one that didn't die again. He's the first of the resurrection. But what happened to us? You and I become complacent so often. My family's saved. We're all going to heaven. So let me back off and let the world go to hell. I can't. My heart's there for the kids. My heart's there for parents that just don't know any better. They weren't told, weren't brought up any better. But my job is to preach and to teach. Your job is to preach and to teach. You'll do it a different way than I do. But that's your job. That's your mission. That is your road of life. And God said, I'm going to place this certain number of people on your road of life. You won't know the number. And these people that you're going to meet, they're important to me, says God. They're important enough that I wanted them to meet you. Does that not tell you how important you are? Huh? Think of it. God says, with the path that I will prepare for you, those who come in your presence in that path, I sent them there. I believe this with all my heart. I don't believe in accidents. When I spill the salt shaker, I don't pick up the salt and sprinkle it behind me. I may pick it up and put it back on some more food, but I'm not going to throw it away. Think of that. What do we do with the Word of God? God said, I've called you for a purpose. I really believe this too. I want you to think about this because this is important to us closing out a year. Do you ever stop to think that you are right now performing what God had called you to do and you don't even know it? I tell a lot of folk when they say, well, you know, I want to do more for the Lord. And when I see them in church, I said, you're doing it. When your time comes to do something different or more or deeper, God will let you know. But you still may never know till you cross over into the real world. Folks, this world that we're living in, it ain't it. This world that we're living in is a world of training for us. But are we doing what we were trained to do? I love shooting. I love, used to love as a Marine fighting. I mean, that was a lot of fun. Looking back on it now, it's pretty dumb too. But you think about that. Then God will take whoever we are. He will place within that body His Spirit. And He will say, now look back at what you've learned through your ignorance. And I'll give you strength. And if you'll call on my name, I will help you not commit the same ignorance you did then. Have you ever catch yourself on doing that? Same thing over and over and over. Oh, there was a man by the name of Paul, Saul of Tarsus. He said, I try my best. The penman of 2/3 of the Bible, of the New Testament. And my best is not good enough. Oh, what a wretched man I am. Aren't I? When I see the wretchedness in me, that gives me the courage and the boldness to help those who don't know Jesus. Because you see, I might be a mess, but I'm God's mess. And the life that He's given me is a life for a purpose. You and I are going to be called for commitment all through 2014. As God gives me the word, I will share it with you. As God gives me the strength to stand, I will stand in holy boldness proclaiming His word. I have told the doctors and all, I'm not afraid of anything, I guess. But I have something that is bringing fear within me. And I never really thought that I would be seeing that fear. And that's the fear of the greatest nation that's ever been known, totally collapsing in the mire of sin. There was a time in history. I'll give you a little history lesson. Randy loves history. There was a time in history in 70 A.D., in the year of our Lord, 70, when Jerusalem was under siege. And as the armies are standing out around Jerusalem, siege meant nobody could come out without being killed. And no food or anything else could go in. And I read the scripture that brings more to the truth of where I can see us. And this is so sad. Folks, the people, the Hebrew nation, God's people, God's chosen, turned their back. Do you realize that from the time that Moses left Egypt with the Hebrew nation, they had chosen foreign gods and were worshiping Him all that time? The Bible says that too. That they never ceased to worship the idols of the land. And God said, that's enough. I made you great, Jerusalem. I will now allow the army to come in. Jerusalem was starving to the point that they were picking up the dung, wrapping it and using it for food. But the vileness had not truly started. Parents were eating their own children. Children of God. Parents were eating their own children. Cannibalism was rampant. And all the viciousness of life had befallen. Why? The great nation of Israel had once again turned their back on God. I see nothing different in our generation that is going on with the slaughter of the innocent unborn. That's insurrection. God placed birth in order of life. You and I have no rights to slaughter the unborn. And yet the cry of those children reach up to the ears of God, and God hears their cry, and He looks down on a nation called America and says, I've given you my best. I've blessed you in every way you can be blessed. I've given you all. And you dare stand back and watch my children slaughtered? Why do we not have the cure for cancer and all the other dreaded diseases? Maybe one of those babies in the 50 million we've slaughtered was the one God would have given the breakthrough. Do we not understand you and I are not gods? There is one God. Hear, old Israel, the Lord thy God is one. The same story that they all knew in the New Testament. Jerusalem knew it. They had watched the miracles of Jesus. They had read about the miracles of the what we call the Old Testament. They knew what God had done. But they were too self-centered. And they refused to resurrect for the battle. The Christian church of the 21st century is in trouble because we have refused to bend a knee once again to the God of heaven and represents that cross and His Son that He gave. And His Son said, I've died for your sins. Everything's taken care of. Larry, you're going to be in heaven with me. Get more excited of being with me than afraid of staying there. My fear is not in dying. My fear is of staying here. Because of the ache and the pain that I see. But it ought not be, brothers, sisters. You and I have been given the power of the truth. Pilate may have cried out, what is truth? And the truth was standing right in front of him. And Pilate committed insurrection against God. He didn't fare too well with God. The Hebrew nation committed insurrection against God. 1948 is the first time in that 2,000 years that they were allowed to be a state again. America has been blessed more than any nation. And you and I dare sit back and say, well, I got to take care of just my family, as long as my family's taken care of. Let me tell you, in the criminal justice system for all of these years, wouldn't it have been nice that a chaplain or somebody would have been there, or you would have been there, to lead the murderer, the rapist, the armed robber, the child abuser to Christ? And just maybe that one that was led to Christ was the one that was going to rape your daughter, murder your son. You see, that's what it's about. You and I. We don't hide from the world. We go into to the world, but not beyond the world. But we take the gospel in peace. Thus saith the Lord thy God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love, your peace. And Father, we pray that as you touch our life, you will give each of us the strength and the courage to truly become a part of the 21st century resurrection. Allow us, Father, we pray that as you touch our life, that we'll just be ready and willing to stand and watch you do your work through us. Thank you, Father, for calling us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your message. Thank you for your peace that surpasses all understanding. We ask your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen.